All right, if you'll take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. I apologize to you visitors that Pastor Angel is not here, and so you got a sub this morning, all right? We have our pastor is a prince of preachers, and sorry you don't get to hear him this morning. So Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 7, we're going to read 7, 8, and then we're going to drop down to verse 13, and that will be the reading of God's Word today. Let's go ahead and stand in honor of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, 8, and 13. I will read, if you will follow, it says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Verse 13 says, "In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. For now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can come to your house, have your word in our hands, Lord. God, I pray that you would come and that you would meet with us. Thank you for each visitor that's here. God, I pray that you would bless each church member. Lord, you know the needs that are represented in this room. God, I pray that you would help me meet the needs through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heart, there's a place I was made to fill. I find amazing grace when I'm found within His will. He's reserved a sacred place where we could spend the day, and He's waiting there for me. I'm amazed that God could spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His grace that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. In my heart, there's a place only God can fill. Grace with the blood that Jesus spilled. He invites me to a place where we could spend the day, and He's waiting there for me, inviting me to stay. And every day I'm amazed that God could spend the day with me. I'm overwhelmed by His grace that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know Him in His righteousness and understand His will. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. I'm overwhelmed that He could feel such love for me. To Him I'm worth saving, and my heart is craving to know him in his righteousness and understand his ways. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed. Every day, in every way, I'm amazed.
Amen, Brother Tom. That was a huge blessing. That's what the Christian life is, one day at a time. And we're over here in Hebrews chapter 8. We read verse 7, 8, and 13. The writer of Hebrews is talking about the covenant, the first covenant and a new covenant coming to the church age, coming to the saints of God. And we read there in verse 13 that the old covenant decayeth and waxeth old and vanisheth away. The day had finally come for the estate auction to be held. One of the city's richest men had died, and the crowds had come to gather to purchase his belongings. As they gathered around, the people began to see the different things that they would like to bargain for and like to purchase from this man's estate. The crowds continued to grow and continued to grow, and the auctioneer finally got up to his position, and he told the folks, he got the attention of the crowd that had gathered. He said, "Folks, before we go any further with this auction, I have this picture we must first auction off." And the sigh, you could hear the sigh all the way through the crowd, the people beginning to distressed and getting upset. "I don't want to auction a simple picture." The picture was of just a little boy's face. The people were frustrated and said, "Auctioneer, can't we go to the possessions that we want to buy? Why do we have to purchase this picture first?" And the auctioneer said it was the desire of the man whose possessions you will buy to sell the picture first. So disgruntled person came and raised his hand. He said, "I'll go ahead, I'll buy it for $1. And the auctioneer said, "How about two? Anybody give $2? There's no bidders on the picture, just one man. He said, "I'll buy it for $1. The man went over to the picture, picked the picture up. He looked at the simple picture of the little lad, flipped it over. The words on the back said, "He who gets the Son gets all." Amen. He who gets the Son gets all. He looked at it with amazement and he went over to the auctioneer and he said, "Sir, what do the words mean on the back of this picture?" He said, "Sir, all the possessions that this man had, you received through purchasing the picture of his Son. He who has the Son has all." I want to preach a message entitled, "It's All Included in the Deal." It's all included in the deal. In Genesis chapter 3, we have Adam and Eve. They were sinless there in the Garden of Eden until the serpent came and beguiled Eve in that tree, and she took of the fruit, she ate of it, and gave it to her husband also. It was there in the Garden of Eden, God came to man, to Adam and Eve, and said, "I am going to make a covenant with you. This covenant is like none other covenant. This covenant is going to be a man, the innocent, dying for the guilty. This covenant will be one ruler conquering the power of sin and death and hell." He said, "This covenant I will give to you and I'll make to you, and it will come to pass." We have God coming to mankind 6 times later and making a covenant. We have a total of 8 covenants that God made with man throughout our Bible. In Hebrews chapter 7 or chapter 8, we find the last covenant right at the brink of being delivered. We find there in verse 13, "In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. And now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." God came to Jeremiah and said, "Jeremiah, I want you to pin something in the book that you were writing. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 or 31 and verse 31, it says, "Behold, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The covenant was that Jesus Christ was going to satisfy all of our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. God said, "Jeremiah, I'm giving you a new covenant. Jesus Christ is going to come someday. Jesus Christ is going to deliver mankind from their sin debt." Hebrews chapter 13, that verse I just read, it said, "Decayeth and waxeth old, is ready to be passed away." And I am glad that that old covenant has passed away and the new covenant has come in. You know why I'm glad about that? Is because you and I didn't have to bring a dog or a sheep or a bullock or a goat to church with us this morning, huh? I'm glad about that. I'm glad that I don't have to fight over the noise of bang of bullocks and the bang of sheep and the animals in the auditorium. Praise the Lord for that. You ought to be thankful too. You say someone's cologne is strong down the pew from me. Well, something else would be real strong down the pew from you if you had a billy goat in here, all right? He would leave a present for you as well. I'm thankful that we have a new covenant with us this morning. I remember growing up, we grew up in a farm, and I remember my chore was to feed the chickens. That was feed the chickens Monday through Sunday. That meant Sunday morning I had to feed the chickens and water the chickens as well. And so I remember one particular Sunday morning, I got in the van, we were all ready to go off to church. My dad said, "Caleb, did you water and feed the chickens?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "Get out there and do it right now." So everybody stopped and I got out and went to feed and water the chickens. Well, I had some shoes on that could hold. It had a little bit of traction on them. I stepped into the chicken coop, and I stepped in and just kind of slid to the water. I kind of slid to the feeder, and I got my job done. I hopped in the van. We were on our way to church. And everybody looked at me and said, "Man, what stinks? Something stinks." I got to Sunday school, and people looked at me, "Man, something stinks around here." I put my foot up. I was folding my legs like that, put my foot up. I looked, and guess who stunk around there? It was Caleb Hansen. I have brought some of the chicken coop to the church house. Amen. Hey, praise God. We have a new covenant this morning. It's not the old covenant where we have to bring bullocks and goats and sheep and all turtle doves to the house of God and sacrifice and have the priests go in for us into the holies of holies. No, this new covenant has much greater benefit than the old covenant. And I praise God for that. Let me tell you, a new deal has been made for you and I. A new deal has been made. And praise God that God made provision for that new deal to be made. It breaks my heart when I see a person trust Christ as their Savior and then go and live in the same kind of lifestyle that they had lived in for 20 years before their salvation and not know and understand all the blessings that come with salvation. I want to know what came with this deal. You see, it's all included in the deal. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you order something and then you ask them if they can add something to the meal and they tell you it's already included in the meal? Hey, I like that. It's no extra cost. Amen. Jesus Christ made a deal for you and I. It's kind of like when you get a different car. Maybe not a new car. Maybe it's a new car to you. I remember buying my first car. It was not a new car. It was a 65 Chevy truck. I remember riding home with my dad in that thing. I remember looking at all the different parts, there weren't a whole lot of buttons back then to push. But what buttons there were, I pushed them. And it was interesting to find out the different parts of my truck. You know what? Salvation is much greater than getting a new car or getting a new present. But there's many different elements that come with salvation. You see, it's all included in the deal. It's all included in the deal. I want to share a couple of the things that are included in the deal of salvation. Salvation came with a personal high priest. Salvation came with a personal high priest. Moses stood in front of the Israelites and said, "Israelites, God has commanded me to call or to choose a man, Aaron, my brother, to be our high priest." And he gave him the power and he gave him that authority to fulfill the priestly responsibility. Now there are many priests, but there's one high priest, the person that could go into the holies of holies. And so Aaron was given that job. If you recall, there was more than one Israelite out there. One high priest, many priests, one person that could go into the holies of holies, but there were over 600,000 men. Then you start adding the women and the children. They say that approximately 3 million Jews came out of Egypt, all having one high priest. God changed that with our new covenant. Before, the children of Israel, they had to wait for the high priest to go into the holies of holies. Not every day, once a year, that he went into the holies of holies. The Bible says in Hebrews 9 and verse 7, "But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heir of the people." He sacrificed the blood. He poured out the blood of the sheep or of the bullock. And then he took the blood into the holies of holies. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat once a year. Once a year, the sins were taken care of. Can you imagine the weight? We're able to go to God every day and ask God to forgive us of our sins. Can you imagine the weight of the Israelites, the sin that would be so pressing on the Israelites as it got time to go into the holies of holies and confess the sins of the children of Israel? That was under the old covenant. But might I say today, we have a new covenant. It's all included in the deal. They had to go once into the holy place. But the Bible says in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost." Praise the Lord, to the uttermost. "And came and come unto the Lord by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." You know where Jesus is in this new covenant? He doesn't go once into the holy place. He stands there by the mercy seat, always ready for you and I to come to Him and say, "God, I blew it again." Jesus Christ says, "It's all right, son. Here you go. Here's the forgiveness of your sins." It's not once a year. It's every day. It's every moment. Jesus is ever living there by the mercy seat for me and for you. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. I'm glad I live under the new covenant. Praise the Lord. It's all included in the covenant. It's all included. You say, "Brother Caleb, I did something. I blew it this past week. I did something wrong." So I can't believe that you would do something wrong. All of us do something wrong, almost on a daily basis. But you don't have to wait to come to the altar here this morning. You know what? I don't even need a confession booth, huh? This morning, hey, we aren't going to have Brother Bragg's not going to get down here in a little box, and then you're going to come to him and say, "Brother Bragg, I blew it, huh? No, no, I did my confession this morning before I even came to church." And you can do the same thing every day of your life, because the new covenant gives us our personal holy or a personal high priest that is ever before the mercy seat, waiting to take the guilt of your sin and wash it as white as snow. You see, it came with salvation. That high priest, the high priest that enables you to approach the throne of grace. You see, in the congregation of the children of Israel, only the high priest could go in to the holies of holies. Only the high priest. It was the responsibility of the high priest. The children of Israel had to approach that throne through the high priest. We have in Leviticus 16 and verse 30, "For on that day shall the priest make atonement for you." It was the priest that was going to go into the holies of holies. You couldn't do it. You remember Uzziah. As he began to become very powerful in his kingdom, Uzziah, he decided one day he was going to go into the holies of holies, or he was going to go into the temple, the Bible says. And he had incense there, and he wanted to burn a little bit of incense. As he was burning the incense, the Bible says that the high priest came in and 40 other priests with them. He said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to come and sacrifice and to come and burn incense. Get out of the temple." And they drove him from the temple. But Uzziah was so upset. He said, "I want to burn incense. I believe I'm a powerful enough king. I believe I can go myself into this temple." And the Bible says the leprosy began to grow on his head. Why? Because he was not able to go into the holies of holies by himself. You see, with the new covenant, we are given a high priest. Not only to let us be able to come to the holies of holies, but he allows us to approach the throne of grace. Today, in our day and age, we are able to come and say, "God, I need your help." In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace." Hey, I don't need another man to go in before God and ask God to help me through this trial. You don't need another man to go in to the holies of holies or to the throne of grace and say, "God, this person needs help." You can go by yourself to God's throne. So let me ask you, are you going through a trial? Are you going through a little struggle in your life? Have you come into a hiccup in your Christian walk? You say, "Boy, I just don't feel like I can go before God." Let me tell you, with salvation, approaching the throne of grace was involved in that. It was included in your salvation. You can go before God any time you want. Can you imagine the frustration it would be if you could only come to God here at the altar of the church? You couldn't go to God in the privacy of your home. You couldn't go to God in the privacy of your car. You couldn't go to God any time during the week, only at the altar of the church. How frustrating. But God said, "I have a new covenant I'm going to make with you. With that new covenant, I'm going to give you your personal high priest." Thank God I have my own high priest. And he does a fine job at letting me into the throne of grace. My son, sometimes my wife and I, in the morning, he will be able to play with his toys, or maybe he'll be putting his toys away to go to breakfast, and he will be putting his cars into a bucket. And when they don't fit into a bucket, he gets very upset, and he begins to make these frustrating sounds, and you can hear them all over the house. And we come to him and say, "Son, you need to ask for help. You've got to ask for help. If you don't ask for help, you are not going to be able to get the job accomplished." How many times does God hear our frustrations? "Why isn't this working out in my life?" And God says, "You must come to the throne of grace." I love that verse there. It says, "In a time of need." Are you sitting this morning in time of need? Do you have a need? I know there are some people in this auditorium that are facing some pretty serious needs. I know there are some physical needs you are facing. I know there are some financial needs you are facing. I know there's some needs in family relationships that you have. I tell you this morning, it's included in the deal. Go ahead and take access of the throne of grace and go before God and say, "God, I just can't do it on my own. I need you." God is waiting. He gave you your own high priest, Jesus Christ. Why be frustrated and upset when you can go before the throne of grace? There's no need for it. You see, it's included in the deal. I believe not only with salvation came a high priest, but with salvation came a persistent Holy Spirit. A persisting Holy Spirit that seeks after mankind. Ah, the Holy Spirit seeks after you and I. As we read through the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 3, man separated himself from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says, our iniquities have separated between you and your God. In Genesis, mankind separated himself. So God says all the way through the Old Testament, seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. As a matter of fact, 26 times in the Old Testament, the phrase, seek ye the Lord, is found. 26 times. You see, God wanted mankind to seek after that relationship with Him. We find Noah standing outside of that ark saying, seek the Lord! Seek the Lord! Repent of your sins! Get in the ark! We find Jacob telling his sons, boys, I want you to seek God with your life. Moses tells the Israelites, seek the Lord. We find Elijah telling the Israelites, seek the Lord and leave off the idolatry. We find Isaiah telling Jerusalem and the people in Jerusalem, seek the Lord. We find Jeremiah telling the captive, seek the Lord. Jonah we find over in the city of Nineveh telling the people, seek God, seek the Lord. We find Daniel telling Nebuchadnezzar. There we go, mind freeze. We find him telling Nebuchadnezzar, seek after God. But let me tell you this morning, we get over to Luke chapter 19, and Luke says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the Old Testament, it's God telling man, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. In the New Testament, it changes. God comes seeking after man. Praise the Lord. You see, there was a change. The Old Testament, man sought after God. The New Testament, God comes seeking for man. Praise the Lord. We have a persistent Holy Spirit. That persistent Holy Spirit, He seeks after you and I. We find the maniac of Gadara there on the hillsides, cutting himself, screaming and hollering through the tombs. Who came to the maniac of Gadara? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the maniac of Gadara. The maniac of Gadara did not get in his boat and come to where Jesus was at. Jesus came seeking out the maniac of Gadara. We find the Ethiopian eunuch there in his chariot riding across the desert. As the man is in his chariot reading the scripture, the Holy Spirit comes to Philip and says, Philip, I want you to go into the desert. I'm seeking after a man. I'm seeking after a man. And Philip comes running into the desert. He finds a man, the Ethiopian eunuch, and he says, well, do you understand what you're reading? The man says, how can I except somebody tell me? And Philip got there and he preached to him Christ. It was the Holy Spirit seeking after the Ethiopian eunuch. We find Cornelius, a very religious man. Cornelius prays and he seeks God. But it was God that sent a man to him. Yes, the world is full of lost people, but God has sent the Holy Spirit to draw men unto Himself through your voice and through the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the New Covenant, we were given a high priest. We were given the Holy Spirit that draws men unto Himself. Not only draws men to Himself, but also seeks to stamp the image of Christ in their life. I love here in verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8. It says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. God says in the new covenant, I'm going to work a work of grace in the hearts and the lives of the people that are saved. I'm going to keep on working. You say, Brother Caleb, I just got saved. I want to make some changes in my life. Well, there's somebody that the Holy Spirit, that God gave to you in this new covenant, and that is the Holy Spirit. And He will help you change your life. I think of my dad as a young man, 27 years old, as he was a drunk leading up to that age in his life. 27 years old, he bowed his head and trusted Christ as his Savior. What happened? At that moment, God instilled in my dad the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon somebody, would overcome a person, and would direct them in the way that they should go. In the New Testament, we get saved. The Holy Spirit indwells us. It's changed. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a person and helped them do what was right. The New Testament, we live with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like driving down the road. As you're driving down the road and a 30, you're going 45, and all of a sudden you see a police car, and all of a sudden you feel led to slow down, pull off that gas pedal and push on the brake. You see, when in the presence of the officer, you do what is right. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, we do what is right. The Holy Spirit would come upon a person. The Holy Spirit would come upon Samson. The Holy Spirit would come upon one of His prophets. And they would lead Israel into doing what is right. Now, let me ask you a question. If the police officer got out of his car, pulled you over, and he said, hey, I'm not going to give you a ticket here. I just want to ride with you. Do you think that you would speed in a 30-mile-an-hour zone? Huh? You think so? If the police officer was with you all the time while you were driving? I don't think so. Why? You would feel led to obey the law. Well, you know what? In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit does not come over us. He indwells us. The Holy Spirit, He works through our lives. The Holy Spirit changes you. Let me tell you, you cannot enjoy the full blessings of salvation if you neglect the prodding of the Holy Spirit. You cannot enjoy the full blessings of salvation if you neglect the prodding of the Holy Spirit. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about when you're sitting in church, and all of a sudden, it seems like the preacher is on top of your toes and he's crushing them to the carpet. Huh? That's the prodding of the Holy Spirit. When all of a sudden the Scripture is being preached and you've been harboring some bitterness in your heart and the Scripture deals with bitterness, and all of a sudden something, some voice tells you, you better get rid of that bitterness or it's going to destroy you. That's the prodding of the Holy Spirit. I cannot enjoy the full benefits of salvation if I neglect that prodding of the Holy Spirit. You see, it was included in the deal. The deal is, Jesus Christ can wash away my sins. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven. Praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. But with my salvation, God gave me the Holy Spirit to be able to be more like Christ. If you just got saved, Christ wants to stamp His image in your life. That means taking some things out and putting some things in your life. Let me tell you, if you've been saved for 15, 20 years, the Holy Spirit still wants to stamp His image in your life. That means taking some things out and putting some things in. It's all included in the deal. I believe, thirdly, salvation came with a permanent sacrifice. It came with a permanent sacrifice. Since the Garden of Eden, sin has been crying out, blood, blood, blood. I must have blood to cover the sin that was done. I must have more blood. So the priests, they would prepare a lamb, slit the throat pour out the blood. The priest would take the turtle dove and they would pour out the blood from the turtle dove. The priest would take the bullock and they would pour out the blood from the bullock. The priest would take a goat and they would pour out the blood for the sin sacrifice. And when they got done with that, sin was still crying out, "More blood! More blood must be sacrificed! More blood! It's not sufficient! I must have more blood!" And so they would come back the next day and they would sacrifice more bullocks and more sheep and more turtle doves. They would come back the next year and do the same thing day in, day out, day in and day out, because sin was never satisfied until one day under the new covenant, a man took the cross and walked up Calvary's hillside and was placed on that cross, and the blood was spewing down on the wounds of our Savior, and sin cried out, "It's sufficient! It's sufficient!" There's no kind of work that you can do to cover the blood that, or to cover the sin that you have committed. There's no amount of good deeds. There's no kind of church membership that will cover your sins this morning. There's no amount of communion that you can take. You can drink a little cup worth or you can drink a gallon's worth of communion and it won't make a difference. The difference is the blood must be applied. The blood must be applied. Hebrews 9 verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in once." Let me say that again. Once. Into the holy place, having obtained, I love the next word, eternal redemption for you and I. It was once into the holy place. One time He brought the blood. For thousands and thousands of years, the Jewish people had made sacrifices, all crying out, "More blood, more blood." Jesus went once into the holy place, took care of all of sin's desire for blood. Now let me ask you, has the blood been applied to your account? Has the blood been applied to your account? If it has not been, then you have no remission of sins. You are living in your sin. And when you die, you will die in your sin. And after you die, you will spend eternity in hell with your sins. Unless the blood has been applied. The blood must be applied to your sin account. You see, it was a new covenant. For thousands of years, those seven covenants have been lived and worked through. God came to Jeremiah and said, "Jeremiah, I'm going to give you a new covenant. It's going to be a new covenant. It's going to be completely different than all the rest of the covenants. But this one covenant is going to satisfy all the rest of the covenants. With that new covenant, we have a high priest." You see, He is included. We have the Holy Spirit. He works in our lives, convicts us. The high priest, Jesus Christ, enables you to bring your sorrows, your burdens to God. We also have a permanent sacrifice, Jesus Christ. He takes care of all of your sin debt. You see, the new covenant was for you. We read about it, but you've got to claim it as your own. It's for you. I make a new covenant today, and I must claim it. Jesus Christ made the covenant. Caleb Hansen must claim it. How about you? Have you accepted salvation? If you have you taken advantage of all that is included in salvation? Would you think it would be very odd for that man that bought the picture of that little boy? You think it would be odd for him to go to the auctioneer and say, "Auctioneer, I know that I deserve all of this, all the possessions of this rich man, but all I want is this picture." And he walks away from the auction with just the picture. You'd say, "That man's crazy. That man's nuts. What is he thinking of? So are we. When we don't take advantage of our high priest, the Holy Spirit, and the permanent sacrifice. We're crazy. It's all right there for you and I. All we have to do is take advantage of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I've been going through a tough time in my Christian walk. I know there are some things that I need to bring to God. I know there are some sins I need to confess to the Lord. Caleb, I have not been doing that. I need to take advantage of the high priest that I was given with salvation. Or maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, the Holy Spirit's been prodding my heart. It's been working on me, but I have not been willing to budge for the Holy Spirit. I need your prayers. Maybe you'd say, I've never accepted the permanent sacrifice for my sins. If that's you this morning, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Deal with that. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He washed away my sins. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. You just slip your hand up. I know that I'm on my way to heaven this morning. Slip your hand up. I see many hands. Hands. You may put your hand down. Maybe you'd say, Brother Caleb, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die today, that I'd spend eternity in heaven. And friend, you can be sure before you leave this auditorium. You can be sure. You said, Brother Caleb, I've never accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Just slip your hand up. I've never done that. Is there anyone here this morning? Say, I've never accepted Christ. Never accepted Christ. Just slip your hand up. Nobody's looking around. Maybe say, Brother Caleb, I know all the blessings of salvation, but I sure haven't been taking advantage of them. Then the Lord came by my pew this morning and the Lord touched my heart. I want to take advantage of the Holy Spirit. I want to take advantage of my high priest that enables me to go to the throne of grace. Brother Caleb, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. I see those hands. Many hands. Put your hands down. If the Holy Spirit talked to you, don't put them off. Come and do business with the Lord this morning down at the altar. We're going to have every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's go ahead and stand. I'm going to pray. Then you can come do business with the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with each one of the folks here, that you spoke to their hearts about whatever matter that you have been working in their life about. Lord, I pray that they would come and do business with you. We thank you for it. Lord, if there's somebody that's not saved this morning, I pray that they would trust you as the personal Savior in Jesus Christ. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you need to do business with the Lord. As the pianist plays, the organist plays, you come and business at the altar.